Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest back with us here on Montana Talks. So we're going to take a break from the normal noise of the day or the news of the day, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, what was it? God, I think it was just back in July. We were broadcasting live from Whitefish during the Western Congressional Caucus Summit that was taking place. We had several members of Congress, including House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, join us on this show, and several other policy experts, including Ryan Mulvey. Ryan Mulvey is Senior Policy Counsel at Americans for Prosperity Foundation, and we got a chance to catch up with him earlier this year, and I said it back then, I said, man, Ryan, we got to get you back on this show because this is such an important topic. So, Ryan, great to have you back with us on the program.
It's awesome to be back, Aaron. Thanks for having me back.
First off, what came from those Western Congressional Caucus meetings? You know, we got a chance to catch up with you on air, but, you know, we all got to have some great off-air conversations with policy experts, members of Congress. The chief of the Forest Service was in town as well. What's happened since those caucus meetings?
Yeah, well, let me start by saying that was my first time visiting Montana, and what a beautiful country you all get to enjoy living out there. I really appreciated my time visiting a part of the country I've never been to, and which is such beautiful territory with the forests and the mountains. It's really gorgeous. So it was a pleasure just to be out there. We've had a lot of exciting conversations. That event covered a lot of ground on a lot of issues that matter to the Western states, including regulatory overreach and right-sizing our administrative state and making sure that, our federal government is creating incentives for businesses and regular citizens to prosper. And a lot of the conversations that we had one-on-one with federal and state legislators and other policy makers and movers and shakers, we're continuing to have good conversations about how we can push things to a less regulated world where we have freedom to prosper.
Yeah, you talked about the beauty of Montana after visiting our state for the first time. And, Charlie Kirk, when he first came here back in, or when he came here, I don't know if it was his first trip to Montana or not, but when he came here back in 2013, he did a post on Twitter at the time, now known as X, and he said that basically Montana is where God decided to paint his masterpiece. And so, such wise words at a young age from Charlie Kirk.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, folks who live in Montana, where there's not a lot of government intervention to begin with, the water is clean, the sky is clean, wildlife is plentiful. You don't need, it's always amusing when you have folks from big government states like California or New York going around arguing for greater regulation when you can look at parts of this country where the opposite is the rule.
That's right.
And things are doing just fine.
Yeah, yet they want to lecture us about the environment. Look at your own backyard there, buddy. All right, hold that thought.
Exactly.
Quick break. Back right after this.
It's September 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Punctuation Day. For all you sticklers out there of punctuation, today is your day to proclaim and point out the proper use of commas, semicolons, and exclamation points. Punctuation gives meaning and clarity to everything we write, and proper punctuation can help eliminate misunderstandings and prevent harmless statements being misinterpreted. So for all you Uber texters out there, putting multiple exclamation points at the end of a sentence doesn't make them more important. One is more than enough. Period. End of story. Also on this date, in 1789, the Federal Judiciary Act passes, which created a six-person Supreme Court bench. President George Washington would then nominate John Jay to be the court's first Chief Justice. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the creator of the Muppets, American puppeteer Jim Henson, born in 1936. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Well, the report cards are in, and let's just say the grades are not looking good. Yeah, I know school just got back to session, but we're talking about the report card when it comes to our nation's public schools. That's what we're going to talk about on Thursday's Montana Talks. But first, let's talk about the roadless rule, the rescission of the roadless rule. That's what we're going to get to on Wednesday. It's important for our timber industry, but it's also important for public access. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so this was, I think, one of the most important decisions that came out of the United States Supreme Court. And I'm no big legal expert here, but I just think from a Montana standpoint, from a freedom standpoint, what have we seen when it comes to our federal government? Well, first off, we see the ping pong game. You know, Republican comes into office, you see common sense, better land management policies, and then the ping pong goes back to the other side, and then a Democrat comes in and they start implementing these outrageous executive orders, land management decisions, stripping away your access, anti-agriculture, you name it. And this whole Chevron decision that goes all the way back to the early 1980s was the excuse that basically said, well, you know what, if there's a question as to whether the government can do something or not, yeah, we're just gonna say that we're gonna err on the side of the government. And all of that has now been changed thanks to what is known as the Loper-Bright decision. Our guest right now is not only senior policy counsel at Americans for Prosperity Foundation, but he was the lead counsel on behalf of the fishermen who took on this Loper-Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo case. And Ryan Mulvey, yeah, now celebrating over a year since that decision went into effect. And I think you have some good updates for us on what has happened in that year since.
Oh, yeah. A lot has happened. it really was a very momentous moment. Law professors joke that all the admin law casebooks, administrative law casebooks, are going to have to be rewritten now. Since they were all about Chevron deference and how courts need to defer to agencies, and the Supreme Court has clarified that's no longer the case. I think in terms of developments, you know, we've seen in some of the lower courts the use of Loper-Bright to invalidate some of the more adventurous agency actions, especially coming out of the Biden administration. I mean, President Biden's student loan forgiveness scheme, for example, the SAVE plan, if that rings a bell for any of your listeners, the Eighth Circuit has struck that down, saying that it doesn't reflect the best reading of the law. And we saw the same thing out of the Sixth Circuit with a challenge to the Biden administration's net neutrality regulations. Its attempt to make the internet, quote, more fair. And another Eighth Circuit case got rid of President Biden's electric vehicle subsidy regulation. So we've seen Loper-Bright really being used in a powerful way to roll back these more adventurous regulations that just, there was no legal authority from Congress for agencies or the president to undertake. And I would say the Supreme Court itself, too, has used Chevron, has used Loper-Bright and the end of Chevron quite a bit in the past year to give us a great idea of what judges are really supposed to be doing. Because it's one thing to say there's no more deference to the government, but the court now has to go about in rebuilding what what judges, the judicial act is supposed to look like, you know, what judges are supposed to actually be doing rather than putting their thumbs on the scale for the government. And unsurprising, given the makeup of the current court, we've seen them explain that textualism, you know, Justice Scalia's approach to reading the law is the way of the future, that we need to be looking at the text of the law, not Congress's purposes, not legislative history, not policy arguments, not the, oh, please, please, we're the agency and we need to, you know, do something for the greater good. That's not how we read law. We read law by using the traditional tools of statutory interpretation. We look at the text of the law. We look at grammar. We look at, you know, statutory context. These are the things that matter. And it's the judges who are supposed to be doing that. It's the judges who make, who tell us what the law is, just like the founders envisioned.
Yeah, instead what we've seen for decades now is we've seen judges and justices in courts trying to be legislators, trying to be lawmakers and make the law. And we've seen, you know, executive branch career bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats basically making laws. And that's why this Loper-Bright decision was so important, because it finally said, wait a minute, no, if there is, the government can't just say, well, since there's no law that really tells us we can or can't do this, we're just going to do it anyway, and they've gotten away with it up until now. Up until now, essentially.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things you wrote about here, you said you did a big column on this on Constitution Day. You did a big column about this, and you said perhaps the most exciting developments in the wake of this Loper-Bright decision have been the actions taken by the Trump administration to operationalize Loper-Bright as part of an aggressive deregulatory agenda. 30 seconds before we go to our next break, what would you say in 30 seconds, how would you describe what the Trump administration is doing right now?
What the Trump administration has done is take Loper-Bright central holding, which is that agency action has to reflect and be consistent with the very best reading of the law without deference. The Trump administration has said, if we have regulations that don't meet that standard, they don't reflect the best reading of the law, and they need to go.
That's the basic
approach here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just see them taking a big red pen and going through all of the these federal regulations and saying, okay, that's not based on law. That's not based on law. This is has no law that it's grounded in here. Strike this. Strike that. I know it's not as simple as that, though. So we'll come back to Ryan Mulvey here to explain more right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks.
Fox Sports Update.
And the Phoenix Mercury pull off a comeback for the ages and tie up these best-of-five semifinals.
The WNBA playoffs on ESPN, the Phoenix Mercury won a historic playoff game last night. The Minnesota Lynx had a record of 61-0 all-time in games in which they led their opponent by at least 16 points at halftime. Last night, Minnesota led Phoenix 48-32 at the break. Phoenix came back to win in overtime 89-83 to even the best-of-five series at one game apiece. From 16 points down at half, down by as many as 20, the Mercury matched the largest comeback win in WNBA playoff history. In Las Vegas, Asia Wilson scored 25 points and grabbed 9 rebounds for the Aces, who beat the Indiana Fever 90-68 to even their series 1-1. Baseball, two more playoff spots were clinched Tuesday.
The Mariners are going to the playoffs!
The Yankees with two runs in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they clinch the postseason berth for the 60th time in their history.
The Guardians take over the Central Division lead. They beat the Detroit Tigers 5-2. The records are the same, but Cleveland's actually in first, and Detroit is in second.
On FanDuel Sports Network Ohio, the YES Network, and Root Sports Northwest, the Tigers had been in sole possession of first place in the AL Central since April 23rd. Now the Guardians, who are 15 and a half games back, July 8th, atop the division with 5 games left in the regular season. Tuesday, Tigers pitcher Tyrek Skubal lost his touch in the 6th inning after he threw a 99-mile-per-hour pitch that hit the Guardians' David Fry in the face, between his nose and mouth. Fry was on the ground for several minutes. He was carted off the field and hospitalized. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Ryan Mulvey, Senior Policy Counsel at Americans for Prosperity Foundation. We're talking about basically the overturning of the Chevron decision that came about as a result of the Loper Bright case, which he served as lead counsel on. Ryan, you talked a little bit about how some of the lower courts are already citing Loper Bright and doing away with government overreach, with federal government overreach. And then we just got into it here. Some of the most exciting developments you were talking about are the actions being taken by the Trump administration. There were a lot of us, the moment that Chevron decision, the overturning of the Chevron decision came out of the United States Supreme Court, that were just like, oh my goodness. I mean, we were just blown away by the significance of that decision, because it's like, now you can take all of this federal government overreach and all of these federal regulations, nonsensical federal regulations, and basically say, that's not grounded in the law. That's not grounded in the law. Take the red pen, scratch it off the list, throw it in the trash can. But then it kind of quickly became evident that, okay, guys, it's not that easy. It's going to require a bit more of a process. It's going to be a little bit more challenging. But nonetheless, we are seeing the Trump administration effectively start to do this. Talk a little bit more about what you're seeing the Trump administration doing right now to leverage Loper Bright.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before the break, you know, one of the, or hinted at, one of the first executive orders that the president at the start of the year was Executive Order 14219, which had to do with DOGE and the DOGE's deregulatory initiative. And one of the things that that executive order did, along with the presidential memo, was lay out a list of 10 cases, Supreme Court cases. Loper was the first, the repeal of Chevron deference. And it told all the agencies across the government, go through all of your regulations, and there's quite a few, and identify all of the ones that violate these 10 cases and go about getting rid of them. And obviously with Chevron and with Loper Bright, you know, the government is targeting regulations that are not consistent with the single best meaning of the statute, or which were only upheld because of Chevron deference if they had been challenged in court. So that process is still ongoing, and it's going to take a little bit of time as agencies put together their lists and go through the, you know, the process of putting things in the Federal Register and actually doing the deregulatory action. But there have been a few cases where we've already seen, you know, concrete results or steps toward concrete results. So the EPA, for example, has proposed to repeal greenhouse gas emission standards for fossil fuel-fired energy plants, and the Fish and Wildlife Service, and this was always, I think, one of the most ridiculous examples of how Chevron was used. Fish and Wildlife is rescinding its definition of harm under the Endangered Species Act, which previously had been understood by the federal government. Harm was understood to mean even like habitat modification. So the Endangered Species Act was written with the killing or injuring of endangered animals in mind. But the EPA went so far as to say any modification of habitat, so your own land, if you want to cut down a tree, even if it's not going to actually kill a woodpecker, I think that was the actual animal in a case called Babbitt versus Sweet Home, about this woodpecker who lived in Oregon. The EPA said you can't touch your land, you can't cut down that tree because you might kill the woodpecker, which is a far away from the statute in Congress actually talking about death or injury to an animal. But the EPA got away with it, or rather Fish and Wildlife got away with it, because of Chevron deference. And now we've seen that definition be slated for elimination, because this administration, empowered by Loper Bright, is taking us back to Congress's laws and pulling back that regulatory overreach that has, you know, not only crushed enterprise, but let's be honest, and we used to joke about this in law school with these environmental cases, like with woodpeckers and spotted owls and little fish and stuff like that. The the landowner who's facing regulatory enforcement is just going to try to cut down the trees and avoid the regulation altogether, right? So regulatory overreach not only crushes enterprise, but it creates a moral hazard, creating incentives for people not to follow the law. And if that happens, what are we doing? What is the agency doing? Getting back to a more common sense rule of law where Congress's words are the ones that matter and not the agency's gloss on them. I mean, that is so important.
Yeah.
It's so important. And for our Constitution, too, for getting us back to the separation of powers.
Well, and I think you could also tie it back into our national debt and the growth of government also at the same time as well. And the fact that we're $36 trillion in debt here as that same indebted government has indebted Americans using this same federal government overreach. The headline of the piece that he wrote at AmericansForProsperityFoundation.org is this: Restoring the Constitution's Separation of Powers, Chevron's Demise, and the Promise of Loper Bright. You wrote in this piece how Loper Bright has been cited more than 1,000 times by federal and state courts over the past year. That's good news. We talked about what the Trump administration is doing to operationalize Loper Bright. The other angle to this is, okay, so, you know, the Trump is going to do everything they can to break out the red pen and start, you know, scrapping any of these regulations that are not based in law. But there's only so much they can do. There's only so much the courts are going to do moving forward. Congress has to act. Touched on that briefly this past summer. You wrote about Senator Eric Schmidt, I think out of Missouri, who's now got a post-Chevron working group. What is Congress doing? What does Congress need to be doing?
I think that there is an important recognition in Congress on both sides, but especially on the right of center side, that Loper Bright is a message. It's a message from the Supreme Court to Congress. It's an invitation, if you will, for Congress to reassert its authority under the Constitution to be the legislative branch, to write our laws, to write more specific and clearer laws, rather than leaving things to the president and whoever happens to be the current inhabitant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I think there's a real recognition that from folks in Congress that they do need to step up, and that's just awesome. Senator Schmidt's report that you mentioned there from his working group recognizes a lot of that. It points out that Congress needs to get more experts. Agencies don't need the experts. Congress does, because Congress writes the laws. So building capacity, conducting more rigorous oversight of what agencies are doing, writing clearer laws, and being more careful about what authority is given to agencies, what, you know, Congress's delegations, what they look like, avoiding really broad terms like necessary or appropriate or for the public health, you know, these sorts of things. Congress needs to just rein things in so that agencies don't have as much leeway to try to get away with growing their own power, because that's always going to be the institutional impetus on the agency side. They're going to want to regulate, and they're going to want to regulate more and more and grow their own power. That's just natural, that's how power goes, right?
And all of this is so important from a Montana perspective, because when you look at the high-wage jobs that benefit everyday working-class families here in Montana, you know, there's a lot of wealth moving into Montana right now, people that are fleeing these other states, typically approaching retirement age. They've already got income, they've already got wealth, or they work remote jobs or whatever. Those people are doing fine. It's the everyday working class Montanans that need these opportunities in our timber industry, in our natural resource industries, oil, gas, coal, you name it. Agriculture has been attacked by some of this very same federal overreach. And so when we talk about the significance of Loper Bright overturning the Chevron deference here, this is critical to the very fabric of our Montana economy and really our culture and our lifestyle vis-a-vis agriculture.
Yeah, and, you know, that's why I think also Loper Bright was such a great case for showing why Chevron deference was so terrible and problematic constitutionally and just economically. The fishermen in Loper Bright were not multinational fishing corporations. I mean, they were small family-owned businesses. I mean, one of the plaintiffs, they had one boat. They had to sell their second boat. Fifth generation of fishing family, they had to sell their second boat because of federal regulation. They have one boat that they're going out on. All the plaintiffs, all the fishermen in Loper Bright are the same. Small, multi-generational family-owned fishermen. These are normal Americans who suffered tremendously from regulatory overreach.
I remember you describing it back in Whitefish during the Western Congressional Caucus, too. Basically, they were going to be forced to have a federal agent sit in the fishing boat with them in order to enforce some of these outrageous regulations.
And pay their salary.
It's like, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine, you know, going fishing on Fort Peck Lake or going fishing on Flathead Lake and you have to pay for a federal agent to tag along with you on the trip? Crazy stuff. Ryan Mulvey, great to have you back on the show. Ryan Mulvey is Senior Policy Counsel at Americans for Prosperity Foundation. I'll tell you what, I got to take another quick break here. Another couple of guests joining us after this, but I want to throw one more question at you if I can, because I want to know, our listeners want to know, okay, what is Congress doing? What are they doing to codify some of the great things that the Trump administration is doing right now? I think it was Congressman Tom Tiffany out of Wisconsin. His wife made that point so greatly at the Western Congressional Caucus Summit. She says, yeah, Trump's doing so many great things right now, and it's up to Congress to codify this stuff right now. So what is Congress codifying based off of what you're seeing so far, or what do we need to do as Montanans to get on the horn to encourage them to help light that fire to get to happen? We'll throw that to Ryan Mulvey right after this, so stand by.
Hi.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a couple more great guests that are going to join us here in just a second, but thanks to Ryan Mulvey for sticking around with us for some final thoughts here as well. Ryan, I guess whatever else you want to tell folks across Montana, but I know also our folks would love to hear, what is Congress doing or what should they be doing when it comes to codifying some of the great work being done by the Trump administration right now?
Sure. So I know already with the One Big Beautiful Bill, Congress has in fact codified some of the reforms that were contained in President Trump's executive orders, specifically on unleashing American energy, pulling back Inflation Reduction Act funds that were, set aside for these so-called green slush funds, kind of wasteful subsidies. We've seen codification of executive order on combating illegal immigration and regulations about that, and then also educational freedom and school choice, and pulling back regulations and making funding more available for parents to send schools to the schools that they want. But there's a lot of work to be done still. I know that there's legislation out there that would further codify executive orders that deal with right-sizing the administrative state, making sure there's a bill called the Good Act, which is about making sure sub-regulatory guidance and what agencies say the law should be in a non-binding, wink-wink, non-binding sort of way, need to be made public and put out there on the internet so that everybody can see them. And there are more Trump executive branch actions about deregulation that also have yet to be codified and are not even yet in pending legislation. So things, we used to have 2-for-1, for every regulation you had to get rid of 2. The Trump administration set up a 10-for-1 so that for every new regulation, 10 need to be, taken back. There's stuff like that. There's stuff like RAINS, which would make sure that major regulations are sent to Congress for approval before they become law, before they're put in the Code of Federal Regulations. These are the sorts of things that Congress is thinking about. And they're the sorts of things that members need to be encouraged to pursue further.
That's right. Yeah. And at the state level, I know there's things like the RAINS Act to rein in the federal government. There's also what's known as the Baby RAINS Act, which has been pushed here at the state level. And I know supported by Americans for Prosperity Montana to, you know, rein in government at the local level as well. Ryan, great to have you on the show. Great to have you back with us. It was fun seeing you in Whitefish earlier this summer. So thanks for freeing up some more time for us.
My pleasure, Aaron. Thanks so much. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you. All right, you too. Okay, and by the way, speaking of our natural resource industries, outdoors, federal regulations, et cetera, the roadless rule, that's how the federal government and the environmental wackos have been killing the timber industry. Not only that, but that's how they've been locking you out of your own so-called public lands. We're going to be talking about that with a great guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. First up, though, let's switch topics altogether. Let's see. We've got Dr. Dale Williams and Dr. Jordan with Billings Last Diet back with us here on Montana Talks. Doc Williams, are you there?
I am.
Great.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How you doing? How you been?
I'm doing real well.
This is some nice weather we've been having for a September here in Montana. Makes me wonder what we got coming for us in October, though, right?
It's good, nice weather throughout because we need good harvest so we can get good vegetables.
That's right. That's right. You know, I'm glad we have you and Dr. Jordan on the show with us here because, you know, if President Trump says something, it doesn't matter how good the advice is. There's people out there that will do the opposite just because Trump said so. I don't know if you saw this whole Tylenol and pregnant women story, but, you know, all the health officials are saying is, and all the Health and Human Services Department is basically saying here is, hey, pregnant women, be careful about taking Tylenol when you're pregnant because it may increase the risk of autism in kids. And now you've got all these crazy pregnant liberal women that are downing Tylenol simply because Trump told them not to or suggested not to. I mean, it's just it reminds me of, you know, there was this idea that, well, because all these conservatives are talking about exercise, don't exercise because conservatives were talking about exercise.
It's not founded in reality.
What else do you say, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. If there's a chance that you can prevent your child from having autism by avoiding Tylenol or only taking Tylenol judiciously as recommended by a doctor, I think that would there shouldn't be a political tie to any of that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. And you know, the rant I went on yesterday was like, hey, folks, you can love people that have autism and love kids that have autism, but also say, you know, but also work to find ways to prevent autism. I mean, both things can be true. Shouldn't be that controversial a thing. Dr. Jordan, great to have you on the show as well. You know, now that kids are back in school, I think everybody's trying to get back onto a better routine across the board with diet, nutrition, and everything, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And just talking about kind of the Tylenol issue, it doesn't come down to just Tylenol. We don't realize what kind of toxins we take in from our food. Those ultra-processed foods are going to affect us, you know, for pregnant women. There's no great studies saying what ultra-processed foods have or haven't done, and we need to be aware and intentional about what we're eating. As Dr. Williams mentioned, this time of year is a great time of year to get whole foods, fresh vegetables, garden grown, go to your farmer's markets and get those good whole foods that are going to make you don't have to question whether or not they're going to be good for you or what might be in them because they're not ultra processed. You know, the less people who touch that food before you consume it, it's probably going to be better for you in the long run.
You know, good couple of points you made there. Yeah, the whole lunch meat angle. You know, if I'm not mistaken, pregnant women, don't they also try to avoid sushi or lunch meat, you know, processed lunch meat? And it's like, okay, so if Trump says, hey, pregnant women, you know, try to avoid processed lunch meat, are they now going to be consuming, you know, a whole bunch of sushi and a whole bunch of processed food lunch meat? I mean, give me a break here. But lunch meat, that's a great reminder. A lot of people think, okay, so people who have heard you guys talk before, who have heard me talk about the success of Billings Last Diet before, they get it. Hey, lower your carb intake. Lower your sugar intake. Make sure you're getting the ideal amount of protein. You guys, Billings Last Diet is an ideal protein-based system. And so you would think, oh, I had a bunch of protein for lunch. I had this, you know, lettuce-wrapped lunch meat sandwich, basically. And it's like, actually, that whole lunch meat is not always the best for you. It's not your ideal protein source.
You know, and that's a big portion of our program is the education behind it. You know, you can find just about any type of advice online. They can say, you know, eat bacon and fancy cheeses and you're going to lose weight. Or they'll say you just eat, you know, meat and eggs and you're going to do well. And there's some truth to some of these things, but the reality is the why behind what you're doing is more important than just the actual action. So as a big portion of Billings Last Diet, that focus on education, the why behind what you're doing, so that you're more likely to understand it, follow through with it, and then be able to make your own decisions along the way. If you don't understand why, you can't make an audible decision when they're like, yeah, here's a big stack of processed meats, or would you rather this less processed protein option, and those type of things. So if you're educating yourself, and we have coaches along the whole way to guide that, then you'll be able to make those options in real, or those decisions in real time, as opposed to just guessing what you should or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, and Dr. Dale Williams, back to you, this whole idea of keto diets that Dr. Jordan referred to there, that, you know, there's people that will no doubt lose weight by going straight keto, and even if they're consuming, you know, more fats. But if you really want to hit your goal and lose the weight, that idea of just eating all the fats you want is not really a good idea, right?
Yeah, the misperception is eating a keto diet will make you lose weight, and there's a chance that it will make you lose weight. But it's not just eating proteins and fats. It's you have to make sure that you're watching caloric intake as well. So when you're eating a keto diet and just consuming proteins and fats, if your caloric intake is up, you'll gain weight while you're on that keto diet.
That's right.
It's more than just one siloed view of information. You have to get a whole picture. And that's what our goal at Billings Last Diet is, to help you get a whole picture. And so when you come to one of the introductory seminars, you'll hear a lot of things that you've heard around town, things you've seen on the internet. And we're going to bring that all together to show you how that fits within a program that makes it applicable to where it makes sense. And that's what
that's
we hear
right.
most from people.
That's right.
Say,
hey, Doc, hold that thought. We got to hit the hard break here. I'll come back to you right after this. Stand by.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, but he's explaining what the goal, what the doctrine is. You know, talks about how the UN is wasting a fortune. Now, he even had a guaranteed a $500 million renovation, and they end up going over budget by $5 billion. And just what waste, fraud, and abuse takes place there. The United Nations has devolved into a useless institution. Frankly, I say give it to China. Could care less at this point. You know, but on the other hand, you know, the president is just doing their job in their absence because they're not doing it.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Goldco, for years now. I am a customer of Goldco, and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. He'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one, trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Death threats, protests, throwing plywood at Border Patrol vehicles, doxing agents, blocking traffic on Highway 93. This is some of what the deranged left-wing Border Patrol protesters have been up to in Whitefish. But is there an Antifa connection? I threw that question to Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. Her answer and much more. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com, or get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID, or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about the rescission of the roadless rule initiative, and to give you an update on that, we got a great guest who's coming back on the Montana Talks to join us regarding that. Roadless rule, rescinding the roadless rule is a necessary step for forest health and public safety. That was a headline, I think, in the Billings Gazette opinion pages here. And you're already seeing the green decoys, by the way, these radical environmentalists who pretend to be sportsmen. You're already seeing the green decoys, full propaganda mode, you know, trying to combat the Trump administration, rescinding the roadless rule. But look, real sportsmen out there, men and women in Montana that want to access their so-called public lands, know that they've had access to their public lands severely hampered because of the radical environmentalists pushing this roadless rule over the years. So not only has it harmed our timber industry, it's also taken away access as well. So we're going to be talking about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Back to Dr. Jordan and Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. You guys are hearing Billings Last Diet, but remember, they've got a remote option that is working incredibly well. Earlier, we had a guest on that I was with in Whitefish for the Western Congressional Caucus. I literally checked in with my diet coach using the remote option from my pickup in the parking lot. And then I went into the Western Congressional Caucus meetings. And you got Tim out there in Savage who lost 100 pounds doing the remote option for Billings Last Diet. So that remote option is incredible. But Dr. Jordan, tell the folks in Billings, you've got in-person seminars they can attend. The remote dieters can do the remote seminars and things like that. But you've also got another good option for folks that are actually in the Billings area right now for our KBUL listeners.
Yeah, we that remote option has been fantastic. When we rolled it out, you know, it kind of came as a necessary evil with COVID, and it's just grown with the amount of success we've had throughout the state. But for those listeners in Billings, we're offering through October a free body composition analysis. Now, what that is most people, again, education is crucial. Most people step on a scale, see the number, and walk away, and that's just how much they weigh. Well, that's not how much fat you have. That's just the weight you have. You have bones, you have organs. You have muscle, things that you don't want to lose. So on the body composition analysis that we have, it's an in-body scale that shows us your skeletal mass, your lean body mass, and actually how much fat you have. And that's the big factor most people need to know is, you know, they say, well, I just want to lose 10 pounds or I just want to lose this many pounds, which is great. Those are good goals, kind of baseline goals to have. We want to know how much fat you're going to lose, not just weight, because with the, you know, pills and injections that are going around, a lot of people are losing more muscle mass than they actually should be losing and having a lot of side effects as well. So for those those listeners who are in the Billings area, call the office or visit our website, and we'll set up a consult with one of our coaches. You can come in, weigh in for free, and see kind of what that looks like, and they can help you understand where you actually are at health-wise to make those decisions that can work best for you.
It's a very helpful tool, and for you remote dieters out there, I've got one of the scales at my house. You can get your diet coach will basically, you know, help you get the same type of information from the scale that you would have in your house as well, so which is a really cool deal. Dr. Dale Williams, for the people taking those injections like the GLP-1s, Ozempics of the world, I know you've mentioned this before, but hey, the biggest challenge you're going to have is making sure your body gets the nutrition it needs to stay healthy. So that's another a key reason why you want to get a hold of our friends at Billings Last Diet, even if you're using those alternative methods, because you still got to be concerned about your underlying nutritional health. And I would throw it back to Dr. Dale Williams, but I see we're almost out of time here. We got to wrap up the hour and move on into the next one. But Dr. Dale Williams, Dr. Jordan, great to have both of you on the show. Give them a call, 406-294-6751, or you can check out BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com. Back right after this.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.